Hello, this is AJ welcoming you to Inside the Quilting Pod. Grab a craft, have a seat, and let's get started, shall we? Today is January the 24th. It's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. It's been a long week for me. I haven't quite figured out a name for this episode, so when I do, or when it comes to me, I will let you know if it happens during this podcast. So, without further ado, I'm going to jump right in. You might have just heard some strange sounds. I just crossed a bridge, and it was the Okeechee River. So, I cross that every day to and from work. So, just to let you know what that odd sound was. I'm going to start off talking about MLKSI. Two things. First, I want to congratulate both winners of my mini giveaway. The first winner was Sandy Colwell of Quilt Cabana. She won the batik fabric, the more colorful one, versus the more subdued color. And my second winner was Nancy of Grace and Peace Quilting. I've already received Sandy's snail mail address, and I will get that out to you tomorrow, Sandy, being Saturday. However, I have not heard from Nancy yet. I tried to track back using her post and was unable to find a track back email of some sort. So not only for me, but for other podcasters, if you are entering a giveaway, please leave a way for us to contact you. I tweeted about it. I posted it on my blog. So if you were a true blog follower, other than just for the giveaway, you will see the winners there as well. So Nancy, with that said, I will give you through Monday night to send me your snail mail address. You can send it to me at the letter N, the number 2, P as in Paul, R as in Red, P as in Paul, L as in Lima, the number 2, at gmail.com. That is my email address at that time. So, well, that's my email address all of the time, but that's my email address. So please, please, please get a hold of me so I can get your package out. And I will say that I usually do all of my mailing on the weekend because of my work schedule. I started this podcast around 5:30 this morning. That's what time that I plugged in or turned on my iPhone recording device. And if today is anything like yesterday, I won't get home until after 6. So post office days for me are not available because they're closed when I leave and they're closed by the time I get home. So Saturday is the most, is the day that I do all of my postal stuff if I have any postal stuff to do. Pretty much I do everything online, so unless I'm mailing a package out, I really don't use the post office at all. So that was a whole lot of nothing said in the first few minutes of this podcast about the post office. But again, congratulations, Sandy and Nancy. And Nancy is a new listener, and thank you, Nancy. I want to thank my seasoned listeners as well as my new listeners for taking time out of your day to listen to my podcast and my ramblings, because I never have anything planned. It's kind of hard to read while you're driving. So there you go. Now, Martin Luther King's sew-in day was great. A lot of chatter going around. I did get the Sew Along Project, which is the disappearing disappearing pinwheel. I'll get it out sooner or later. Got some blocks done. Have some blocks sewn all the way around, and have some blocks cut out to be pieced together in the nine patch format, and I still have several blocks to sew all around a quarter inch, the edges of the layer cake. Now, I have a quandary. I don't do well with bias, and if you followed on Twitter, you know that. I don't do well with bias edges. Mine always stretch. I tried sizing. Yes, I know sizing gives body, but it also gives just a little bit of firmness to the fabric, and I thought that would be great because I was using Best Press. First, I was using Magic Sizing, and then I was using Best Press, and then I found that the best for me is the Niagara starch, spray starch, not the aerosol, no. Yeah, so it's more of the hand trigger one versus the aerosol one. So what I have found is once I get my two squares sewn together all the way around, get them cut, and what I have been doing is spraying on the light side and allowing it to sit a minute to really soak through, and then I flip it over and press to the dark, set my seam and then press to the dark. That seems to have helped a lot. I am going to try yet another method when I do these next few blocks that I have sewn around. I'm going to try to spray again on the light side, let it sit, set the seam, kind of tap the iron down to dry it a little bit but not all of the way, and then flip it over and spray it again so both sides would have the same amount of starch, and then flip and press the blocks out. So we'll see how that works. Most of my quilting or piecing or whatever I'm doing happens on the weekends because that's the time I have available to do it. Sometimes if I have a little bit of insomnia on a work day and I wake up maybe a half an hour or hour earlier than I normally do, I'll try to get some type of sewing in. Because when I sew, I do better during the daytime hours than I do in the evening hours, especially during the work week. On the weekend, if I sew late at night or in the evening time, it's because I've usually had a nap during the day. It's kind of hard to nap while you're at work. They kind of frown upon that. So, yes, if I am up to it, I'll try to sew. But if not, I just wait until Friday night or Saturday, Sunday, where I have more time to sew and my head is a little more clearer. I found as I've gotten older, my stamina for late night is not as good as it used to be. And I tend to make more errors when I sew when I'm tired. And during the work week, I come home and I'm pretty much done for the day, other than to sit down and maybe do some hand work or a little knitting. But when it comes to electrical devices, as in sewing machines, that's a little touchy. I may be able to get some cutting done, but I don't do a lot of that either because I don't want to cut my finger off. I need those. I really do. So the other thing that happened during MLK sew-in weekend / day, I got my Celtic Solstice quilt final border put on. That was one of my goals for that 3-day weekend, and I got it loaded on Lady G. So it's all loaded and ready to quilt. I was taking some time out to figure what I was going to do, and in the interim I was looking at different little YouTube videos of quilting designs and looking through Pinterest, and still haven't quite decided how I want to do it. I know it will be an all-over pattern for basically the center of the quilt. For the borders, I am not quite sure of what I want to do. Because of the flying geese border, I'm still trying to figure out what should be done in that border. But for my green fabric, which is my outer border, they're kind of, the pattern yields to straight lines. And what I want to do on that border is to mimic those straight lines with some sort of a curvy straight line quilting, if that makes sense. So I want to take those lines and follow that and put like a little slight wiggle over those lines in that pattern of that border. So we'll see how that works. Like I said, the center will be all over. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do to the blue and orange border, and the green border, I pretty much know what I'm going to do. So, all over pattern stipple, maybe. All over pattern different design other than stipple, free motion, maybe. Pantograph, that's a maybe too. So, by the end of the weekend or by the end of Saturday, I hopefully will have had it done, and I'll probably dedicate part of my day to get on Sunday getting my Celtic solstice all quilted. So, moving on from that, I am still using my leader, Boxy Stars, as leader and enders. It is slowly growing more and more, and not in a rush on that one, not in a rush on the disappearing pinwheels quilt as well. So I'm just taking my time. Got some time off coming up. I won't be in town, but I did take an extra day on my return so that I can sneak in a little quilting during the work week. So yeah, that was my little sneaky way, because actually I come home on Sunday and I could technically go to work on Monday, but I didn't want to, so I took that as a leave day as well. So I'm going to pause here for just a second so I can take a sip of coffee. Okay, I'm back. It's a 40-minute trip. I'm thirsty, and I usually get 2 cups of coffee in before I get to work. So I'm working on my second cup. So I left off at, devoting time to Celtic solstice quilting on Sunday. And I don't know why you people, yes, I said you people, that follow me on my blog and on Twitter and listening to this podcast. Sandy continues, let me say it again, Sandy of Quilting for the Rest of Us continues to blame this whole phenomenon on me. And it was not my fault. That's all I'm going to say. It's not my fault. I'm sticking to it. If you looked at my last tweet, I said I'm either going to make a quilt about it or I don't know, or make a bumper sticker. It was not me. It wasn't me. I'm going to say it one more time. It wasn't me. So I think I'm not a designer, and I'm going to kind of take this a little bit from Daisy. From Very Lazy Daisy. She does the baby quilts with the names. I'm going to see if I can design, using her method, a quilt that said, "It wasn't me." So we'll see how that goes. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it will happen at some point. So I'm not going to put a time limit on it. Will it happen this year? I hope so. Maybe that's the best time limit I can, because I have 11 months to get it done. And it may take me 11 months to even get it drafted, as far as in graph paper kind of grid thing. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll see how this quilt turns out. I may even do applique versus Daisy's way, whichever is the easiest. But yeah, I'm planning on making a quilt that says, "It wasn't me." Now, big, little, I don't know what size it's going to be. I just know it's going to say, "It wasn't me." Yeah, wasn't. Thank you, Sandy, for continuing to say that. However, it's not true. So I am moving on from that. So I don't have a lot this morning to chat about, other than I've already talked about Martin Luther. I talked about Quilting Celtic Solstice. Talked about Sandy and her blame game. So at this point on my trek in, I am going to end right here for part one of January 24th podcast. Again, this is AJ. This is part two of my Friday morning podcast. It is now 5:32 p.m. and I am on my way home. Yes, guys, you heard it, 5:32 p.m. I probably won't get home until about 6:10. Maybe 6:15, so you can see how my days go during my work day. So, I don't remember where I left off, but I do remember that when I left off, I had a couple of more things that I wanted to talk about, but couldn't remember what they were. And come to think of it, that might be where I left off. See what happens when you have a long day and you're older than most. Well, no, I'm not going to say most. You're older than some. But anyway, two things that I wanted to talk about that, I don't know, I read it somewhere, saw it on YouTube, read it on somebody's blog as a good idea. But it was about my practicing my long arm. I had bought some plexiglass and covered the edges with masking tape so it wouldn't have any sharp edges. And the purpose of buying the plexiglass were twofold. The first purpose I bought it for was because I saw on a blog, or I don't know if it was a Superior Threads thing or a Golden paper, whatever that golden paper is, that you're supposed to be able to mark your design and then stitch through the paper and then rip the paper off once you do your quilting. I can't remember what the name of the paper is. But they, wherever I saw it, suggested that you purchase a plexiglass thing and cover the edges so you don't slice your arms or anything. And when you're trying to decide on what quilt pattern you want to do on your quilt top, then you take that little square, whatever size you've made it, rectangle or whatever, had it cut to or purchased, and you lay that over top of your top, and you draw out your design for that particular block, area, or whatever it may be, to see how it will look on your actual top. And if for some reason you don't like the design or decide to choose another design, you could take an eraser and erase it off. Of course, what you're using to draw with is a dry eraser, just in case I didn't say that. And so that gives you a opportunity to audition your designs that you have in floating around in your head that you may or may not want to do. The other purpose of that, you can either use a smaller size, the same size, larger size, or whatever, was to actually practice your free motion quilting using the dry erase pen and just sketch out your free motion quilting. It was one of those things that is supposed to help build up your muscle memory for the design, so when you go to quilt it on your quilt top, it is not something that is virgin to your brain's ability. Your brain already somewhere has tucked that repetitiveness back somewhere that can be brought out once you start doing that motion again. So that was the second fold of that. And I do have that plexiglass, and yes, I used it a little bit to try out design ideas and a little bit to practice my free motion. And with that said, the piece that I have, I don't know exact dimensions. It's just a little too big for me to hold while I'm sitting on the sofa just doodling or whatever, to hold. And sometimes if I don't have my black dry erase marker, it's hard to see what you're doing because it kind of blends in. If I use a green, red and black seems to work best for me. You can see the design really well when I practice it. It's just cumbersome to hold. So I was perusing, was it Pinterest or something on Pinterest, that when I tracked back and then I tracked back further, it took me to the original post. And I'm not sure whose blog I saw it on. It was on somebody's blog. And it was probably a blog that was talking about free motion quilting. I don't think it was an Angela. It might have been an Angela Walters blog. I don't remember. Or I don't remember. I'm not even going to try anymore. But anyway, it was about the Magna Doodle. Yes, the Magna Doodle is a child's toy. It's a Fisher-Price toy. And I think they have different age groups that they're good for. I decided, me and my infinite wisdom, who has no grandchildren, none on the way, no child in my life close to me that is under the age of 14, should I say, I purchased a Magna Doodle. Yes, I did. So now I have this Fisher Price. Oh, I'm sorry, I had to laugh. It was funny. I have this Fisher Price Magna Doodle. It has I think it's a green handle. It's multicolor. And it truly is a child's toy and has the child colors. And I feel such like a, I don't know, I don't want to say an idiot because it's not an idiot, but it's like, really? You're in your 50s, okay? Really? You bought a Magna Doodle for yourself? I know people are just like laughing away. But yeah, I did. I bought a Magna Doodle. So last night, being Thursday night, the 23rd, I was practicing on my Magna Doodle, trying to practice feathers. I love the look of feathers. I know some don't. I like traditional feathers, non-traditional feathers. Designs, any design that may have a feather attached to it, I like. It's something about the feather that gives it this the look of elegance for me. I don't know why the feather design is so attractive to me, but it is, and I truly want to master the feather using Lady G, and I am not there yet. Truly, I am not there yet. So I was practicing my feathers using the Magna Doodle, as well as I was doing some swirls and some, you know, the little circles with the circle inside, just trying to get that motion in my hand. And then you take your little slidey thing that's at the bottom and you erase it. Reminds me of, what do you call, Etch-a-Sketches. But instead of having the two little wheels that you manipulate the line drawing with, and then you have to turn it upside down or shake it or however you used to do to shake it to erase it, you have this little lever at the bottom that you slide it back and forth. Now, I will say one thing about the Magna Doodle. It is a perfect fit for my hand while I'm sitting on my sofa looking at things and looking at mindless TV and just want to do something with my hand while I have one dog on one side and one dog on the other side. I have very limited space to use my hands and my arms with because they have to be touching me. So, yeah, the one thing about it is it's not, and it may be me, it may be my pressure. I don't even know if pressure has anything to do with it. But when you use a little stylus pen, which is attached, of course, so, you know, and the children can keep up with it, as well as the adults. Yes, I said that. When you swipe the thing across once, it really doesn't take all of your writing off. So I literally swipe it back and forth a few times as I go along, almost like a pencil eraser. But I will say it's nice, bright, and colorful. It's something I will not lose. I will not lose the pen because it is attached. So, yes, right now what I am enjoying is my Magna Doodle. So, if you want to practice your free motion, if you're not good at it like some, meaning me and others who say that they don't do it very well, you might, if you see a Magna Doodle in a yard sale or know anyone that has a kid that you can confiscate it from that no longer wants to play with it, then I would suggest that you get it and use it as a little practice board. The other thing you might want to try is getting a little sheet of plexiglass. They come in pre-cut. You can layer the edges, and you can use that with dry erase markers and practice. The thing that they did say if you use the plexiglass is when you border the edges with masking tape or blue tape or whatever tape you use, it is a visual cue to let you know where your plexiglass ends and begins, so that you don't inadvertently get happy with your dry erase marker and mark on your quilt top. So that's just a little warning. If you do go the plexiglass way, make sure you tape the edges so that you have a visual clue of where to start, to stop, so that you don't muck up your freshly done top and perfectly layered quilt for quilting, because that would be a tragedy. So yeah, that is what I wanted to talk about, one of the two things I wanted to talk about. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is my Hexi progress for my trip. I am doing okay. I have gone from using my AccuQuilt Go die cutter for my freezer paper to the templates, to the little, they're not cardboard, it's more like cardstock templates. Yeah, I was looking at Sue Daly. She has like a multitude of tutorials on YouTube that you can watch about hexagons and the different shapes and how the different shapes make even more different shapes. And she talks about how she designs her her quilts, because it seems to be that most of her quilts are done of hexagons of different sizes. And I was looking at her tutorial. She uses the little round rotary cutter mat, and she has the plexiglass templates that she uses of, you know, the hexagons and the elongated hexagon and the jewel shape and the octagon or whatever, the gon. She has all of the gons that you would ever want to make a quilt. And looking at her stuff, it's real nice. It is real nice. And I am deciding on whether or not I want to buy one of her kits. And it's a kit that if I bought it now, I would never get to. So I am not really thinking about buying it now. But then again, if I don't buy it now and for some reason she no longer has the kit that I want, then I'll be upset. So now I am recording on my laptop. During my drive home recording, my daughter phoned me, and it stopped the podcasting. So this is going to be a different tone than the previous. I just wanted to give you that little heads up. I was talking about Sue Daly and her kits. And there's a particular kit I want to get, and I'm kind of putting it off. But I have decided that I probably will buy the kit and put it away. The kit only exists of the templates and the paper templates. It seems to be, just looking at her videos, her templates seem to be a little different than just the usual paper templates. One side seems to have a coating on it. When she based her hexagons, she uses glue. She glue based her hexagons instead of thread based her hexagons. So I think I want to try that because it did look a lot faster. So something to try to see if I could crank out more than just having to baste with thread, because sometimes holding the hexagons and holding, once you do your fold and you hold that little fold over and you have to go from one side to the other and catch both sides, just the act of holding and trying to get little bites to get both sides sometimes gives my hands some cramping, and it's not really fun. So when that starts to happen, I just kind of stop the project at that time and move to something else. For some, that may not bother, but for me, it seems to be a little bothersome, a little painful, so it'll stop my hexagon mojo at that time. So that is one of the reasons I wanted to get her her little kit, because it came with the templates. It's a couple of templates in there if I wanted to cut on my own, that I think I would use to combine with just the basic hexagon to make even a different shape. But time will tell. Glue basing may be the thing for me. I do like, you know, that part of quilting, the hand work. Like I mentioned, or may not have mentioned, I was a needle turn applicator. I still love the way it looks. It is very time consuming. And handwork is one of those things that you can take with you wherever you go, as well as small knitting projects. So anything that's small and portable is a good thing to take with you to occupy your time when you're just sitting around or in a boring meeting, or as I'm getting ready to do, to take a flight. I have been known to take a few stitches while I am stopped at a stoplight. When I was in an area that had a lot of traffic, if I was in stop and go traffic, or we were delayed for any length of time, I always had something in my car with me that I could take a few stitches. A few stitches taken during those snapshots in time are a few less stitches you have to take at the end of the project. So I do like handwork. So back to the progress of my hexes. I think I have enough basted now. I probably have about 6 or 7 petals or hexes to make 6 or 7 little flowers at this time. I'm continuing to baste. I'm trying to just focus on basting, so when I actually start my flight, I can start putting together the little flowers. So we will see how that goes. The hexes are coming along slowly. I am using the 1-inch paper template, so they are small hexes. Not the smallest I've seen, but small nonetheless. So with that said, I think finally after 3 attempts to try to get this podcast completed, I think I am finally done. It is now 8:13 p.m. and I hope you have an enjoyable weekend, because by the time you listen to this, it shall be the weekend or an enjoyable day at whatever time you listen to this. So, with that said, if you'd like to get a hold of me, you can do so at thequiltingpot.com. That takes you to my blog. And if you check out the right-hand sidebar, It'll give you a link to Goodreads, Pinterest, and Ravelry. If you'd like to leave me a comment at my Podbean website, that is at thequiltingpot.podbean.com. If you like to shoot me an email, you can do so at the letter N, the number 2, P as in purple, R as in red, P as in purple, L as in Lima, the number 2, at gmail.com. And, as always, may all your seams be straight.